So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We just return for a moment or two to that first reading on page 5 and look again at that picture of confusion, or rather a picture of confusion that the Spirit is making sense of, allowing people to hear important things in their own languages. Paul is clearly somewhat confused by the situation, but is trying to interpret it. "Men of Judea, listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." He clearly hasn't been to Wetherspoons in Beeston. But a confusing picture. And the Spirit tends to do that. We have this idea, don't we, that somehow the Spirit's there to calm things down and for us a place for us to go, as it were, when things are difficult. And of course, the Spirit is described as the Comforter, but also the Spirit is the Holy Disturber, the upper-ender, if you like. And I think it's important to bear that in mind, particularly in an age like the one we live in at the moment, where everything seems to be up on its end, and the assumption is that we're godless and we've abandoned God, and somehow that's the reason we're all in trouble. That isn't true. The reality is that it's about our human selfishness. So, and it's a much more complicated situation than that. But let's just think about that Spirit which both disturbs and comforts. Next week we'll think about Father, Son and Holy Spirit on Trinity Sunday, that one God in three persons, one God in three ways, if you like, although that's a bit dangerously close to heresy, but never mind, because we have to find some way of speaking about these things, even though our language always falls short. But today I think it's important to focus on the Spirit that makes sense of things amidst the noise and the confusion. So life is chaotic at the moment in many ways, nationally, internationally. We're given at the moment to much turbulence, political extremism, which we think is the answer to everything, social division, unprecedented anxiety, and mental illness of one kind or another. And the message in the Gospels and in the letters in the New Testament is that that Spirit can bring order across a picture like that. It might not be the order we want, or it might be an order that we recognize, but nevertheless, God is able to cast his power over so many different situations. So God is described in the Bible as fire, a wind that can blow away the cobwebs, pictured as a dove, for example. As I say, the comforter. I think today's really important to celebrate because it is very much the poor relation to Easter. And in fact, what we're celebrating today is the birthday of the church, 2,000 and odd years. And that is surely something to celebrate. This story endures. The reality of God's presence in the Spirit endures down the ages. So that in itself is something really important for us to celebrate. I was reading yesterday that the government have commissioned Alan Milburn, a former Labour minister, to investigate why it is that nearly 1 million young people are neither in education or training or working. Happened to speak to a young person about that yesterday, a few hours after reading the article, and they said, oh, that's simple. That's simple. No prospect of a job, no hope of a pension, owning a home, nothing to look forward to. Interesting perspective on what a young person might have said perhaps 20 years ago. That's just one person's opinion, but nevertheless, I think a perspective, an opinion shared by many young people. So into that vacuum, of course, there are already, and there always are, people who are ready to pour the answer, shall we say. And sometimes that's pouring the answer in terms of a religious certainty. Sometimes it's pouring the answer into the vacuum with a political certainty. But the problem with all of that is that if I have the answer, then you must be wrong. And I think that's really important for us to remember. If I have the answer, then you must be wrong. And it never in history ends well when we go to extremes, when we label or blame the other person who's got it wrong. So I think that's an important message for our age. So I think the Spirit is about disturbing our certainties. And I think that's something that in the short term can make us feel even less secure. But the reality is that if we're finding answers and they're neat and they fit to all the world's problems, then they're probably wrong. Because the world is a complicated place, and that is the reality of the situation. And of course, certainty can lead to authoritarianism, and it can lead to dictatorship. So, the only real progress comes through joining God in that place of revelation, that place of peace, that place of dialogue in the Spirit, listening to God's Spirit. One of the problems that we have in the church is that we imagine that somehow God's revelation closed on the last page of the Bible, and that somehow it's something that can never be developed or changed or renewed or refreshed in quite the same way again. And of course, Jesus' death on the cross that we've been thinking about the consequences of these past weeks is that final and forever act of God over our sin that remedies the situation. However, that doesn't mean to say that sin is not present in the world, or that somehow we don't have to keep returning to that place in order to be reminded of God's final power over those things. So the Spirit in the church, I believe, is always calling the church into something new. This idea that somehow the church can tell God that the revelation is over, that God's got nothing new to say, is a perversity. God always has something new to say. God brings out of his treasury through the Holy Spirit things both old and new all the time, calling us as a church into something new, calling us as individual Christians into something new. And sometimes being called into something new means being reminded of the important treasures of the past and the things which still apply and the things, as it were, that are good for us out of the past. But again, when we make an idol out of tradition, then that's when we end up in places like, that's when we end up with Christians on the stake, because one part of the church is deciding that they're not living the gospel fully. That's when we reach the situation where people are threatened and people die for their faith. Again, it's this business of us believing that we're right, and if I'm right, therefore you must be wrong. So what do we do in the face of all of that? Well, we're told elsewhere in the scriptures that the Spirit interprets our groans. So if you groan today, ask God's Holy Spirit to interpret those groans and to help you to understand what they really mean. So you might be complaining about something. Why are you complaining about something? And it's into this vacuum of hopelessness that we've talked about in terms of those nearly a million young people, not all of them, but many of them, that the church can speak through the Spirit and can speak Jesus' words that we've heard today, "My peace I give to you." The Spirit breathes over us, doesn't remove our troubles, but helps us to put them into perspective. And the church exists to remind the world that the chaos can never finally win out in the end. And that is what the cross is all about. God is present in the chaos. The Spirit is the breath of life, breathing over those situations that we face and breathing over us too. Always there, always inspiring, always pointing us forward, always bringing in hope out of hopelessness. So today, our prayer over every situation that we face as individuals and as a nation and internationally should be, "Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in us the fire of your love." But just to be careful, because fire can burn. Amen.